It was a pleasure to have political management expert Greg LaBelle with me through both of the national political conventions this year and to benefit from his expertise during the campaign before and after those intense weeks. Now we have a clear winner, and yet the trademark Trump chaos reigns in many quarters of our body politic. Is there a model for getting out of this with our democracy intact? Now, for answers to this and other weighty questions, I'm delighted to welcome Greg back to State of Belief Radio. Greg, thank you for being here again.
Thanks for inviting me back, Welton. It's good to talk with you.
So this is the question that bedevils me. Is the undermining of our standards, norms, and mores irreversible, or is it just the constant fear-mongering in social media that makes it seem so?
Great question. I think that it is not irreversible, but that it will not be reversed with a great deal of work and energy and creativity. I think that certainly it has been magnified by the reality of social media. We are able to do things both good and evil much more efficiently and quickly than was the case in the past. But I have confidence in our democratic institutions and our ability to bounce back. Again, not without some significant work, but from what I'm seeing from the incoming administration, that reality is clear. And I expect that they will, if they don't already, will have a plan to move forward on this, but not without a great deal of work and time.
When you look at the incoming administration, how would you grade Biden and Harris on how they've handled the kind of obstructionism that few past incoming administrations could have imagined?
Yeah, few, if any. I think at this point, I would give them, I would have to give them a B plus, well, A minus, I think. And I'm not even sure why I'm saying, let's just go there. I think that Joe Biden, and this is one of the reasons why Joe Biden really may well be the person of the era in this, because with his experience, his network of friends and advisors and associates, and his knowledge of how things work, and his natural demeanor, I think he is maybe not uniquely, but certainly one of the best qualified, I think, to take on this challenge and this president. I think that he has been smart in refusing to engage with almost all of the nonsense that's been coming out of the White House and the network of Trump's friends and co-conspirators. But at the same time, from what I understand, he is doing some serious, he and the vice president-elect and others on their team are doing some serious behind-the-scenes work, particularly in the Congress and on the international scene, to move forward in a way that will allow them to get some things done and back on track, let's say, back on track and maybe even get some things done within relatively short order and once the new administration is in place.
Well, Greg, talk about Joe Biden's appointments so far.
Well, obviously, there have been some controversies, which is not surprising. Part of that comes from the fact that I think the Democratic Party is a broad party representing lots of different diverse viewpoints and experiences and needs, as opposed to a Republican Party, which has singularly worked very hard to narrow its focus to a very small segment of experiences and needs in this country. So there's naturally some controversy around this. I would say, I watched yesterday as the president-elect announced his nomination of Pete Buttigieg to be Secretary of Transportation. He was very wise and I think clear on pointing out that this is the most diverse cabinet in the history of the country. The number of appointments that are unique are firsts for him, not the least of which I would say is Pete Buttigieg is the first openly gay nominee for a cabinet position. But women and people representing various minorities are filling roles that they have not filled before. But what he has done is, I think he has put that together with people, by and large, whom he knows and trusts and knows can walk into various cabinet positions and various administrations around town, where they have some familiarity, because there's no question that they certainly have not been getting the kind of support and help from the outgoing administration in getting things in place that that we've come to expect as we go through presidential transitions. But a lot of these people know where the back staircases are and where the files are kept in these various offices that they will be holding. And I think that's an important aspect of this too. So he will have an administration that's ready to hit the ground running and that is broadly representative of America in the largest and most diverse sense of the term.
A lot has been said about the passion gap between Trump fanatics on the one hand and Democrats who have coalesced around the candidates with a mindset of purpose rather than passion. Do you see that as real? And if so, is it going to matter in the months ahead?
Well, if that's true, I would say purpose is much more valuable than passion in the long run. Passion tends to burn itself out. Purpose is real and can be longstanding. So if that is in fact a good, accurate distinction between the two, I'll take purpose over passion anytime. I think there is a great deal of passion among Trump supporters, although I did notice looking at some of the polling numbers, to the extent that we can believe polling numbers anymore, there are fewer people now who see Trump favorably than voted for him in the election. So there's already a little bit of a downward trend that maybe is real and maybe will continue. And I think that relates in part to this passion issue that we've been talking about. I think that there is purpose. I think there is purpose pretty much across the board from Biden and Harris on down in putting this together, putting it together right, and dealing with the challenges that are somewhat unique to this transition and getting to the other side of them. So I'm happy to take purpose over passion.
Greg, are there steps the incoming administration should be taking to minimize the risks to its ability to function?
Well, I addressed that a little bit, I think, with the nature of some of his appointments and bringing people in who know their way around. And I think that's an important first step. I think we will also see in the first 100 days a real effort, maybe particularly in the area of foreign affairs and defense. I think we will see a great deal of effort put in by the State Department, Defense Department, and so forth, Ambassador to the United Nations and so forth, at reestablishing a more normal relationship, a more cooperative relationship between the United States and our allies, and a clarifying of our positions with some of our traditional non-allies, let's say. So I think that's an important first step. I expect and hope that we will see the administration move forward on some domestic issues quickly that, again, help to make clear where the administration wants to see us go, and will give some clarity and optimism to a number of people and organizations in this country that need that kind of support and optimism right now.
Greg, how do you see the beginning of this new administration? Do you see encouraging signs, or do you see signs that make you nervous?
I am feeling pretty optimistic as we head forward, quite honestly, for a number of reasons. Now, we have to recognize, first of all, I don't want to be too Pollyanna-ish about this. I mean, we continue to have a virus that is hospitalizing and taking the lives of way, 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 way too many people, and seems to be affecting different groups of people, different ethnic groups and economic groups more seriously than others. The attendant economic hardships that we will continue to struggle with, racial equality, the division that this country is sort of going through as a result of a direct result of the Trump years, and particularly the last few months of the Trump presidency. That is real. But there are signs that I think we can recognize and feel good about. Vaccine. There are two vaccines. There will be two vaccines that are approved by the FDA very soon. We may be seeing the light at the end of this long and very dark tunnel. The very fact that we have a new president and vice president elect who will be coming into office on the 20th, and the attendant reality that Donald Trump will no longer be in the White House, the diverse cabinet that we were just talking about. A lot of these things are reasons to be hopeful for the future, I think, really to be hopeful for the future. And so we move forward. We're not out of the woods, but we're heading in the right direction. And I take comfort and frankly, some enthusiasm from that.
When you look at progressive faith leaders and communities that have engaged in the work of democracy and social justice during the past 4 years, do you think this energy is sustainable, or do we risk widespread burnout once the most overt attacks on inclusive values are necessarily muted in a new administration?
You know, this is an interesting question, and I think in many ways it relates to a much larger question about sort of a post-COVID, post-Trump world. And to answer the specifics of your question, I think that there is reason to believe that this engagement, this finding of a voice among progressive religious leaders in this country is real, is sustainable, and will continue. And I say that in part because of the role that these voices have played in both of those two realities, but I think particularly in the reality of the virus. To put it in a larger context, I expect that we will see some really interesting opportunities to look at how we live our lives together once we get beyond these two tragedies, one political, one medical. I think that we may see a serious reconsideration of work-life balance in this country, and I think that is due in large part to the fact that so many of us have been working from home. I see signs of that everywhere, and I think that that is a good sign, and I think it sort of relates to this. I think, speaking of religious leaders, I think another interesting thing to watch is the relationship, is how American Catholic Church leaders, the bishops, deal with the second Catholic president following only John Kennedy in 1960 and his position on some key issues, particularly the issue of abortion and the issue of sexuality in this country. And I think there will be some developments there. I think that the Catholic Church is a very different church than it was in 1960. Certainly the issues we face in this country are very different than they are in 1960. So I expect that we will have a vigorous debate going on about and among faith communities, and I think that's a good thing, and I think that progressive religious communities are ready for it.
You've given us information. Before we go, briefly give us some idea of what we need to be doing. What do you think we all need to be most alert about in the weeks and months going forward? What are the lessons we ought to be bringing from the wins and losses of the Obama years?
I would, you know, it's interesting. I'm about two-thirds of the way through President Obama, the first volume of President Obama's autobiography, which is a remarkably honest and I think insightful review of his time in the presidency. And I think that Obama sort of indicates a number of occasions the areas where, you know, he thought things were heading in one direction and maybe the assessment wasn't, in hindsight, wasn't necessarily the best. That's always the case. I think any former president who's honest will recognize that. But I think what comes across in there and what I think we are hearing more and more in all aspects of our life is we need to rediscover the value of listening to each other, of hearing what each other are saying, particularly the people with whom we might not agree, and understanding where they're coming from. This is something, a talent that we have lost in this country in the past years. And I think that really is going to be, as corny as that may sound, I think that's going to be absolutely key to how we proceed and begin to fit the various pieces of this country back together in the coming years. And I say years, not months or weeks, because I think that it will take some time for us to be able to undo some of the damage that's been done. But there has to be a rebirth of listening and mutual respect in this country if we're going to be able to do that. So that would be my overall answer to that.
Greg LaBelle is Professor Emeritus of Political Management at George Washington University, where he ran several popular academic programs, a veteran of several presidential campaigns. Greg has held leadership positions at prominent organizations, including Interfaith Alliance. Greg, it's always great to have you with us. Happy holidays, and I look forward to us talking again in 2021.
Happy New Year, Welton. I really think that we're on track to have a happy New Year. So the same to you. I look forward to talking with you in 2021 again.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be giving this host and our guests a break for the holiday season and bring you some of our favorite interviews from the past 15 years of continuous weekly broadcasts. Please make sure that you're signed up for our podcast, because there's some bonus content coming your way during these weeks. You can do that on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. Your donations help keep us on the air. We are grateful. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.